American businesses need more skilled workers. How do we find the talent? How do we go about developing it? And how do we create opportunities for everyone in our society to get a good job? You're listening to Work in Progress. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation, a nonprofit media company telling stories about the future of work, the future of education, and closing the job skills gap. Work in Progress explores the rapidly changing workplace. We talk with innovators, educators, decision makers, people with ideas and solutions for today's workforce challenges. When you think of Goodwill, the first thing that comes to mind might be clothing stores, but they're doing much, much more. The mission of Goodwill Industries International is to help people achieve greater independence through employment.
We have workforce development centers all across North America. Some of them are attached to stores, some of them are separate. People can find us if they Google us. Many other local providers or service organizations will know about us. We'll work with homeless shelters. We try to be pretty savvy about where people are that may need this support.
I met with Goodwill CEO Steve Preston a few weeks ago at Talent Forward, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation's National Workforce Conference. He shared what Goodwill is doing to help people enter the workforce or improve their skills, and he explained how the company works with local employers and community colleges and shows up nearly everywhere people need support to prepare them for targeted jobs within their communities. Thank you very much for joining me this conversation. Tell me what you guys are doing at Goodwill now in respect to closing the skills gap.
Yeah, so we work with people at varying levels of need. So sometimes people come to us in very difficult situations, and we work with them to make them workforce ready to get that first job, and then we give them opportunities to move sort of through the progression through sort of enhanced services. But many people are coming to us at a point where they're looking for those foundational skills, many of which are sort of the price of entry. So digital skills, basic academic foundations in many cases, and sometimes sort of just skills that help them operate more effectively in the workforce, almost more soft skills. And so, and then if people are looking for very specific kinds of jobs, and we do this a lot through local community partnerships, we work very extensively both directly with employers and with community colleges to help people get ready for very specific targeted jobs that are relevant in their local communities that we think, you know, result in important career opportunities. Last year, 38,000 people got credentials through us. In the first year and a half of the launch of our new digital program, 70,000 people have gotten jobs. I mean, we're overwhelmed by the numbers. So we see these wonderful microcosms where, you know, very relevant skills are leading to very relevant jobs. And now what we're doing is taking a step back and say, how do we, number one, make sure that whatever we're doing incorporates all the best practices that we see across our network? Because the great thing about Goodwill is we're everywhere, and we can learn from our local providers. And then how do we reshape those and distribute them nationally? And from my perspective, I don't care if they come, if it's just Goodwill. I'm happy to give that curriculum to local libraries or work directly with employers. I mean, our goal is to help more people on this pathway to a life of flourishing, right, and a life of opportunity. And however we can advance it, we want to support it.
Is this free to people, or how does someone find you? Because, you know, when you think of Goodwill, you think of the clothing stores and that. So how do people find you if they need your help?
Yeah. So if you look at our mission statement, there's nothing about a clothing store in there. And the words, learning in the power of work, helping people reach their full potential. That's our focus. The way we deliver our services, we have workforce development centers all across North America. Some of them are attached to stores, some of them are separate. People can find us if they Google us. Many other local providers or service organizations will know about us. We'll work with homeless shelters, we'll work with other places, you know, maybe food banks, other places where there's intake. And so we try to be pretty savvy about where people are that may need this support. And once again, you know, many of the people who come to us have jobs, but they want to move up in terms of enhancing their skills. I also will say, I think this question is going to be particularly important in the future, because increasingly the people who are coming to us are going to be people who have jobs and are concerned about losing their jobs. So we are going to need to expand our employer relationships. We are going to need to become sort of more ubiquitous in the discussion of, gosh, you know, I need to retool myself. Where do I go? And I think we'll have to think differently about how we get that message out.
I like how you talk about working with employers on a local level. Working Nation actually totally embraces that idea that local is where you have to look for the solutions because the needs of one community are different than another.
They are.
Businesses are different. So give me an example of one of the employers that you work with that you think you're doing a good job and they're doing a good job addressing the community needs.
Well, we have numerous local relationships, for example, in Detroit in the manufacturing sector. Because of the manufacturing nature of that particular city. And we've got relationships with large automakers, we have relationships with smaller providers, but we probably are more heavily anchored in the manufacturing sector there than we may be in a place like a Las Vegas or an economy where you see a fundamentally different sort of business infrastructure. People don't think of themselves as being terribly mobile all the time, and especially people without financial means. And so we really seek to have that local relevance, and where that really can work the best is, and this is I think something we do very well, is when we actually have significant relationships across the employers in a particular location, and then we connect that with either the training we can do, what community colleges can do, or other providers, and then we port people into those roles. We're piloting a location right now with a large national provider of home services where they need fairly significant skills to be able to provide that support. So we're looking at them initially on a local level, but we'll be taking that nationwide actually, so because they're everywhere. In other situations, we look very specifically at providers that are primarily local. And so I mentioned, you know, Detroit, where we have relationships with auto manufacturers, with other manufacturing entities, and we provide people with more relevant manufacturing skills. So, you know, if there's a large hospital or other kind of, you know, large, more unique entity like that, we will work with community colleges and other credentialing entities to help people get through those programs as well. So sometimes you can cover a broader patch if you work with national employers that are embedded in many communities. And sometimes you really have to focus on employers that may only have a location, but a big location in one community. And so we try to be smart about what we do there.
You know, earlier we were chatting for a few minutes about the older worker, mm-hmm. and you mentioned already that these people who are fearful they're going to lose their job, maybe they don't have the training or they don't think they have the training to do some of the changes within the business that they're working at. So older workers, what do you see there? What are your concerns? What do you think you guys can do to help?
Yeah, we have a very significant presence in the CSEP program, which is actually supported by the Department of Labor, where we work very closely, very hands-on with older workers who find themselves in difficult financial situations, right? And so we'll work with them very closely over a period of time to help get them ready for whatever job they're targeting. In other cases, older workers will come to us much like other people, but we really have to be very savvy about how people learn when they're older and what works for them. And so in some cases, we may need to support them with you know, very similar skills, but they may need a little bit more coaching support or other kinds of help to get to the end game. But many people have a different path to get to that end game in terms of you know, skills acquisition. And it just really, really pays off to understand what that pathway is for each person and help them get the support they need. One of the things that helps us in doing that is we're very active users of different assessment tools. So when people come through the door, we can evaluate kind of where they are and kind of what that starting point needs to make, and then help them build along the way.
Goodwill does significant work with veterans.
Yes.
And transitioning military. Tell me a little bit about that program and how you guys work with them.
Yeah, so once again, even though opportunities with veterans are nationwide, it also has very much of a community focus, because every veteran coming home has a different set of circumstances with respect to the support they can get from the Veterans Administration, other sort of local veterans groups that provide them support. So typically what we will do is we'll try to figure out how best to embed in those communities and understand the support that's there for people, and then really lock arms with other service providers. Many of the veterans will come to us really ready for a job, right? So we'll work with them through our employer relationships to find the best job for their skills. Some of them come to us, you know, they're really ready to go, and they might need a few supports. They may need to understand how to, you know, connect with some benefits. Other people come with some real challenges. And I was talking to a young man who runs one of our veteran centers in Arizona. You know, he's somebody who saw combat. He has had a great deal of difficulty kind of moving forward because of the trauma that he faced. Now he runs one of our veteran centers, and he's doing a terrific job, but he sees the people coming through the doors. He hears their stories, and immediately he knows where they are. He knows the support they need. And he figures out how to connect them to what's relevant at that place. Not only veterans, sometimes other people come to us and they're just not ready at that point. And we need to get them ready because they have a long life ahead of them to flourish and to grow and to contribute. But we gotta make sure that they can stand on both feet. And all of us, you know, all of us just feel deeply for people who've gone through those, you know, those circumstances in life.
Yeah, it's a big number of people. I think it's 200,000.
Yeah.
People transition each year from the military into civilian life, and we spent a lot of time, and I met a guy from one of your southern, I think he was in Georgia. He was wonderful, and we spoke to him, and he was also a veteran.
Yeah.
He also talked about it the way you did, because I could see it in your face, just your passion for it. I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing I think that's so important to understand is veterans understand veterans. I can't tell you what it was like to be in a trench or in a Humvee, you know, because I wasn't there with them. But when they come through the door and they see somebody on their side of the table saying, and they start sharing stories, you hear it. You just hear them sharing, where were you? Well, this is where I was. What did you see? And all of a sudden, there's this, there's a compassion there. There's a level of understanding. And I think so many veterans come home and they look around and they realize that they can't get that level of understanding because people just don't have it. And so we need to give it to them to help them on this journey.
And, you know, we talk about a skills gap. Is there anything going on within Goodwill itself that you have to look within yourself and say, how are we going to get our employees moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually, in many cases, provide our own employees with credentials. So last year, you know, I mentioned we provided 38,000 people with credentials. A good portion of those were actually Goodwill employees. You know, frankly, I'm the happiest guy around when I see somebody come into Goodwill, get a good job, and then move on to something that is the next step in that person's career path. So helping people move through is a big part of what we try to do. But I will tell you, as we look at all these challenges, it is one of the conversations we have. Many times we've taken a step back and said, we're doing this for millions of people outside of our own employees. How do we make sure that we are walking the talk here at home? You know, we are 157 local autonomous entities that are all parts of Goodwill, and we have many just sterling examples, you know, of our local Goodwills offering terrific educational opportunities, terrific advancement opportunities, terrific workforce environments for people. But we got to make sure that we're more consistent across our network and how we do that. And so, like I said, it starts at home, and we feel very strongly about that.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
Work in Progress is produced by Working Nation, your source on the future of work. This month, we're talking with leaders we met last fall at the Talent Forward Workforce Conference held by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation in Washington. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, and my guest today was Steve Preston, CEO of Goodwill Industries International. You can learn more about their organization at goodwill.org, and you can find even more about job training programs at our website, workingnation.com. Next week, we talk with Benjamin Pring, who co-founded and leads Cognizant's Center for the Future of Work.
If you look at the overall loss and gain balance, in fact, we think, and we argue in our book, What to Do When Machines Do Everything, that in 10 years, we'll probably have more jobs than we do now.
To hear more about the future of work and workers, subscribe to Work in Progress wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Larry Buell, and executive producers, Joan Lynch and Melissa Panzer. Our theme music was composed by Lee Rossevere. Happy New Year. See you next time.